Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? Good morning. Thank you for joining in this morning on this, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Karen Dowdle, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship this morning is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Christ, the Life of All the Living, hymn number 94 in Lutheran Worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with all of you this morning as we are here to worship on this, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. We are following the order of service as it's printed before you in the worship bulletin, and we'll continue now with the confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our strength, without you we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be preserved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The lector this morning is Ken Shelbert. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Ken.
The first reading is from the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 1 through 2 and 6 through 9. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join the responsive reading of Psalm 15 that is printed in your worship bulletin.
Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy mountain, the one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken.
The second reading is from the first chapter of James, verses 17 through 27. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, but not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand, if able, for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, 7th chapter, verses 1 through 8, 14 through 15, and 21 through 23. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observed many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, and it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on human traditions.'" Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. This is the Gospel of the Lord."
Having heard God's Word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "O Bless the House," hymn number 467 in Lutheran Worship. This is your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
For if he were not dwelling there, how dark and poor and void it were. bless the house their faith is found, and all in charity abound, who trust their God and serve Him still, and do in all His holy will. Oh, bless that house, it prospers well, in peace and joy the parents dwell, and in their children's lives is shown how richly God can bless His own.
So, one of my biggest nightmares has just happened. I always keep my sermon up on the pulpit, or up on the altar. It's not there. So, thought to myself, boy, what am I going to do here? I could go in the back and dig through the garbage and... So maybe it got tossed last night when I was shuffling through all the papers. Could do that. Or I could just say to you, Jesus loves you. We worship our Lord with His offering. What do you think about that one? Or I could crutch on my memory, which there's no guaranteeing where this is going to go. Or we can just roll with it, and I'm going to use you to help me through it. All right? Here we go. Let's work it out. I want to direct your attention to the book of James. That was our second reading for today. James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. We're going to use it as a roadmap, but to kind of get you thinking about what I was thinking about when I came across this passage this week, I couldn't help but to think of the game of golf. Who's played golf? Not many. I wonder if that's for a reason. I don't know. I've attempted. And golf was something that my grandfather introduced me to. And it would happen often on Sundays. I would come to church with my grandma and grandpa, and we would sit right where my mother continues to sit. And there was a little bit of motivation behind it, behind coming to church. We would go to church with my mom, too, over at St. Luke. But there was a little bit of motivation to coming to church with my grandparents. You see, we would go to breakfast. That was the start. Well, I should say, first, he would deliver newspapers with us. My grandfather would. So he would take half of the paper route. Win-win right there, right? So, and then we would go to breakfast, right? We'd start out, and it would either be the 50s diner, or it would be Dutch Mill. And I really liked Dutch Mill because they had corned beef hash, right? So that was the real motivation there. Now, we would come to church, and we would get here probably about 8:10. And when I was young, John Sietsma still held the post where he does. And Eric Brown was there as well. I do remember all of this. But anyway, we would go to church and we would sit. My grandpa would sit on the end, and then one of us, my brother or I, would sit in between him and my grandmother. And it was intentional that we would sit on each side of my grandmother. Because we came to church not for the sermon, not for the hymns, not for the company. That was good. But we came because if we leaned, I'll just show you, if we leaned over the pew just right, just like this, and glanced at my grandmother, she would rub our backs. The whole, and it was the best part of church. Oh, man. But anyway, once church was through, then we would make our way off to Harris Hill Golf Course. And we would get gentle golf lessons from my grandfather, right? Golf is one of those games where realistically, you know what you should do, but it's doing what you know you should do. That's kind of the key, right? So we knew to keep your head down, because if you lift your head up, the ball's going to go out of control. We knew keep your left arm straight and use your right arm kind of like a hinge. Anybody who plays golf may say that's terrible lessons. I don't know. Maybe that's why I still can't hit the ball straight. But there are certain things that you know you need to do with golf. And if you do those things, you'll be successful in it. But that's the hard part. We know what we ought to be doing, and we know what's best practice for the game of golf, but we don't always do that. And that's why I would hear, and I still, on the golf course to this day, hear my grandfather's voice up at the tee box. Keep your head down. It is. No, it's not. Keep your head down. Stop moving your arm. You know, I could hear it. I can still hear it. We know what we ought to be doing, but that's the hard part. We know best practice, but we don't always keep that best practice in place, do we? And that's when the ball kind of goes astray. That's where we go off course. And this got me thinking about what James has to say. You see, the Christian life is kind of like that. Faith is like that. We know what is best. We know the model for faithful living, and yet sometimes we don't do it. Sometimes we go astray, don't we? Sometimes we go off track. Sometimes the ball does go off course. We go off course. Left to ourselves, that would kind of be our final disposition. That would be where we're at. But God doesn't leave us to ourselves, does He? God gives to us His Spirit. And the Spirit works in us this power. A power to turn to God as our source of strength. He works in us a power that leads you and me to cast away and put aside that sinful life, to seek out forgiveness from Him and to rise up as a new creation. And as a new people, we do indeed walk in faith. And as we look to the Word of God, we see for ourselves that model. And here's what James does for us. He shows us a most remarkable model for faith alive. As renewed people in Christ Jesus, our faith is a living faith, isn't it? Our faith then is something that we live out in our lives. Turn with me to James now. Can somebody read for me verses 17 and 18? Kind of this. So look at this passage, if I can just say it this way. Look at this passage as a best practice for faith alive. Does that make sense? All right. Ready? Somebody want to read for me 17 and 18.
Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created.
So, when you hear these, this is where you're going to help me out now. So, when you hear these words, what is it saying to you? As you think about this as a way of living, as a way of living out your faith, what is James reminding us here? What do you think?
Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created.
saying here, isn't it? The way of the world, unfortunately, is one that says what you have is because of who? Yourself. And if you don't have what you want to have, then look deep inside of yourself, work it out for yourself, and you'll get it. The power to have, according to the ways of the world anyway, is from within. But faith alive, what's that? It's part. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You work. You work for it. Yeah. It's your accomplishments.
But it's not.
No. There's got to be a first. Right? And that's where God comes in. Faith alive, the motto for faith is one that says, don't model after the world, that says only look to yourself and strive for more and more and more. But look to God. Look to God who is the creator of all good things. The giver of all good things. Think about the creation story for a moment. God went through and He created, right? 6 days He created. And on the seventh day He rested. But at the end of each day, what happened? What did God say? It's good. Huh? Except the seventh, that's right. That's right. But after His creative work was done, right? After that work was done, God saw that it was good. God is the giver of all good things. And that still applies today. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. God is the giver of all good things for our lives. How He provides for you and me the things that we need, the food on our tables, the clothing on our backs, the shelter over our heads. It's all because of Him and His power at work in our lives and in our world. And of course, the greatest gift that God has given to you and me is who? His Son. Our Jesus. The one who came for us. The one who took flesh and died and rose for you and me so that we might know this newness. So that we might know forgiveness in our own lives. You see, God saw how desperate our need was. Our problem with sin was debilitating and we couldn't fix it by ourselves. So God put His Son in our place. He provided just what we needed. And because He did, we live. Alright, how's that? Does it work? Whew. 19 to 21. Somebody want to read verse 19 through 21 for me?
My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this.
Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you.
We give all acknowledgement to God as the giver of all good things, right? So that's number one. Now, number two, the second tip that James has given us for faith in practice is here. What do you think? Okay, live the way that God wants you to live. Derek, can I say, would it be safe to say that what James is kind of urging us here is to put others before ourselves? To think of others before ourselves? It kind of flows very nicely as we think about God as the giver of all good things in that first point, right? God has given us His Son. He put His Son in our place. Christ went before us, thought about us before He thought about Himself, really, from the human perspective. Who wants to endure that kind of suffering? Christ did it for you and for me. And so here we're reminded to live that out as well. We're called to live that out. Put others first. And how? By the way you treat each other. Right? And that's where this list goes. Do away with all of this kind of stuff. Do away with envy and do away with slander. Listen. Listen to each other. Care enough about each other that you're willing to listen to each other. Didn't I say that at the wedding yesterday? It's a model for living for you and for me. God calls us to put others before ourselves, and how we live out our faith demonstrates that. It's a model for you and me. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James is reminding us that faith alive produces certain things, and how we live and how we interact with each other demonstrates that. Put others first. Verse 22 through 25. Ready? Somebody?
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
As the giver of all good things, we've got thinking about others and how we respond to one another, how we love one another. That's the faith. Now, point number three in the last one. What's this one saying to you? What'd you say? So we come into this place every week, right? And as we filter into this church every week, we hear the word as it's proclaimed, we hear the goodness of it. We hear that model for living life with each other and in the world. How easy is it to live that out? Right? It's not easy. It's tough. Right? So what's James reminding us here? You come and you hear the word, but don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers. Live it out. It's a beautiful gift that you can share with other people. As you hear that word proclaimed, and as that the Spirit empowers you to hear it and to digest it and to receive it, the Spirit also empowers you to step beyond yourself and share. Share the love of Christ. Share His word. As it has touched your life, so let it touch the lives of those you love. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about being the Bible banger. I don't mean to use that expression that way, but you know what I'm saying, right? I don't mean to say be the kind of person that has to quote Bible passages in every conversation, and that's good, and that's for certain people. Don't get me wrong, that's wonderful. But being a doer of the word can happen in other ways too, can't it? Some people are really gifted with sharing and proclaiming the word, but other people are gifted with the gift of compassion and kindness. You see, being a doer of the word can happen in all different kinds of ways, as I see it, as the Spirit empowers you. Now, I can't stand up here and tell you what you should be doing exactly, because, well, I think that would limit the Spirit some. I think it takes for you listening to that still small voice of God and seeing how He's using you to be a doer of the world in your life and in the world. Maybe for you. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's the commission, right? We step beyond these walls to share. To share in whatever way that happens for us. It could be the proclamation of the word for somebody in their deepest grief, right? Someone in their deepest grief, and you remind them that Jesus is the way to life. Could be that. It could be as simple as just holding the door. Let me ask you something. How many times you go to the store and somebody just lets the door go in front of you? And isn't it easy when that happens to say, well, they're not holding it for me, I'm not holding it for them. Isn't it easy to do that? It is, right? Happens. Not going to lie. Right? But it does. It could be as simple as just rising above and being that person that does just that. Right? There's all different kinds of ways, isn't there? All different kinds of ways that we're empowered to be doers of the Word. All different kinds of ways that God empowers us to go out into the world to share the peace, to be the hands and the heart of Christ Jesus. You know, I once heard a quote, and this is where my memory's going to get me because I'm going to botch it and not remember it all the way. But it went something along the lines like this. It isn't so much about what you know, but it's about what you do with it. And isn't that the truth? We can sit in here and know all there is to know, but what are we going to do with it? First, it shapes you and me. It's like the old hair commercials. Not only am I the president, but I'm also a client. It touches me first. And as that good news of God's love touches me, man, it empowers me to step beyond myself, to step beyond my comfort zone even, to share, to be a doer. May the Spirit empower us to do just that. May we listen to that still small voice of God as it comes to us, that we might hear how He's using us to shape the world one life at a time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. I hope that worked.
Congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This radio broadcast, sponsorship, and flowers on the altar today are sponsored by Tom and Sue Bloom in celebration of their granddaughter Allison's marriage to Sean Flager yesterday. May they have a long and very happy life together.
In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please also include in your prayers Carol LaDragna. Carol continues to be hospitalized up at Buffalo General. For Nina Kyle, Nina is recovering from some back surgery up at Buffalo General. For Edward after Buffalo, Ed is also recovering from back surgery. He was at ECMC, but I was glad to learn that he is now home. Either way, please continue to pray for Edward after Buffalo. And last but not least, we say a special word of prayer and thanksgiving to our God for the gift of Allison Bloom and Sean Flagler, that they are to each other. They were married here yesterday afternoon. So we ask God's blessings upon them as they begin their lives together, that they might faithfully carry out the vows they made. Let's pray. In joyful confidence that our Heavenly Father hears our requests and answers them according to His good and gracious will, let us pray for the church, the flock redeemed by Christ the Crucified, and for the needs of all people. Gracious God, You have commanded Your church to take the word of life to the ends of the earth. Strengthen us in this call. Give us wisdom and courage to share You in all that we say and all that we do. We pray especially for the derelict, Deutschlander, Dowd, Dowdle, and Durning families, and all others from our congregation. Make those we share with receptive to Your word and promises, that they might be overflowing in joy. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, Your Son welcomed the little children and gladly blessed them. Grant that the children in our congregation may be rightly instructed in the saving knowledge of their Lord Jesus. As we prepare to begin next week, bless especially our Sunday school and the catechetical instruction provided for the young, granting encouragement to those who teach and receptive hearts to those who learn. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, remember our nation and all who serve in positions of public trust. We pray especially today for Donald, our president, Andrew, our governor, Mark, our county executive, and Jesse, our mayor. Bless them and make them a blessing, that they may faithfully and honorably fulfill their calling. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, attend to the needs of all who are sick and infirm. We pray especially today for Carol, for Nina, for Ed, for all of those who are listed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and of course, anybody else that we name before You in our hearts. Heal their infirmities, strengthen them in times of anxiety, and deliver them from every evil of body and soul. Comfort as well all those who mourn. In the midst of their sorrow, bring hope, that they may hold fast the promise that Jesus' resurrection from the dead brings for all who die in the faith life. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. As You gather us at Your table, O Lord, send Your Spirit to remove from us all conflict, all tensions, and help us all to be reconciled, that we might be one in You. Draw us near to receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which Your Son has promised us in His body and in His blood. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, the source of all life and the life that never ends, receive our prayers this day that we offer to You in the name of Your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, in mercy for our fallen world. You gave your only begotten Son that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And we pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
As we've received God's peace into our hearts and our minds, let's share that peace with one another.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greeting of the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Pass his peace on to someone else today. St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through the sacrament of Holy Communion. The congregation will sing three hymns. The first hymn during the distribution of the sacrament is Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us, hymn number 402 in Lutheran Worship.
Lord, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith from now and to life everlasting. May the Spirit empower you to always rejoice in His Word, that you might be a doer of that Word as you share Him in all you say and do. Depart in His joy and peace. Amen.
Of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also email us. Our email address is stjohnslutheran.office@gmail.com, all small letters. This is your announcer, Karen Dowdle, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead. God bless you.
Christ, given to death for you, taken to
invite you to please stand for the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
With those whose rest is one. blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, that we like saints before us may see you face to face.
Please have a seat for a moment. Good morning again. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. I do hope that you were blessed in worship this morning. Thanks for your understanding and your patience as we winged it this morning. I hope it worked out okay, because I'm planning to use it at 11:15. So if it didn't work out, speak now so I can fix it up. Just kidding. Thank you, though. Thanks for your help with it as well. I truly appreciate your insight as we've let the Spirit kind of work in all of us this morning. Quick couple of things before you go. We're moving now. We're into fall. It's hard to believe that that's where we are, but here we are. It's September. So next week kicks off Rally Day here. That's September 9th. So that's the beginning of all the Sunday school programs and our adult Bible class downstairs starts next week as well at 10 o'clock. So please, if you're in Sunday school, if you have kids in Sunday school, please make sure that they're with us next week and every Sunday from there out. Rally Day, we're also going to do, during the Rally Day ceremony up here, we're going to do a backpack blessing for the kids. Please make sure that your kids bring with them their school backpacks for that special blessing service next week during Rally Day. Confirmation is set to begin this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock. So if you're in 7th or 8th grade, please make note of that, and please plan on being here promptly at 7 o'clock so we can begin. I took a half hour off of confirmation instruction this year, so it is only an hour long opposed to the hour and a half that it's been in recent years. So it's really, really important that all the students arrive on time at 7 o'clock so we can start on time. For Tuesday, I would also ask that parents, please plan on coming in just for the first few minutes of instruction. All right? So that's Tuesday. Lois asked me to announce that choir is going to be meeting already this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So if you're in the choir or if you're interested in being a part of the choir, and we're always looking for people to join the choir, so if you're interested in participating in choir this year, talk to Lois, but please plan on being here Wednesday at 7 o'clock. I've set the date for the new member class, and for those of you who may be interested in joining St. John's, I know about you. I set letters out in the fellowship area, so make sure you grab the new member letter. But the new member class is set to begin on Wednesday, September 12th at 7 o'clock. That's the first of the three. So we'll work out the schedule after that. But again, if you're interested in joining St. John's or learning more about St. John's or know somebody that is looking for a church home, please let them know that we'll be meeting on Wednesday, September 12th at 7. In your worship bulletin, excuse me, there's a little blurb that came from Tony. We have been working diligently on safety matters in our congregation, and in light of some of the things that are happening in our society, we want to be a step ahead of things. And so we have a safety plan that's in place. We're working with a consultant that's helping us out with some things. But we're also looking to develop a safety team here. So if you're interested in that, if you have a background in law enforcement or fire services or EMS or emergency services, whatever it is, or just a general willingness to serve in that capacity, you can talk to Tony, you can talk to myself as we're developing that team. So let us know if you're interested in being a part of that. Dana has asked me to announce that there is a youth lock-in. The date, I believe, that's printed in the worship bulletin is incorrect. Is it, Dana, or... No, that's all good. But it's the wrong date in the bulletin, right? Okay. All right, so just in case you didn't hear, Youth Lock-In is September 14th. Dana had a conflict in the original date, so it's the 14th. Be here at 7:30 on the 14th, and then she will have you out of here on the dot by 9 a.m. on Saturday. That's right. two other things, and then I'll have you going, okay? Sorry about that. We're just moving into programs, so I want to make sure I highlight everything. Acolyte schedule. In years past, I developed an acolyte schedule to include all the different kids from sixth grade, even fifth grade on to eighth grade. Unfortunately, there has been a lot of no-shows and no participation, and if I can just be so bold, it takes a lot of time to put that schedule together, and it has been just kind of a waste of time.